All right, good morning. Can we just give Jesus a hand? He is, he's alive, and I know that cannot be an easy song to pull off, and that team nailed it. You guys did an awesome job, and it's one of my favorite songs. It'll probably grow on you. If you haven't heard it before, it'll grow on you really quick, especially when you start walking through a moment when you need to raise a hallelujah, and that's about all you got. That's plenty enough to give to God. So, again, my name is Josh. If this is your first time with us, just so excited to be with you on this Labor Day weekend. And I know pastors are supposed to be able to counsel you and give you wisdom and advice through everything, but I have nothing I can say about what went on the football field a few miles down the road yesterday. There's nothing I can say to make you feel better today, other than Jesus is alive. And let's just turn the page and move on if you're a Tennessee fan. So it's basketball season will be here before we know it. So, all right. But if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to take those out. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we're going to be at this morning. And we're wrapping up our Hard Candy series this morning. If this is the first message you've caught in this series, what we've been doing for the last few weeks is looking at some of the hard things that Jesus said in Scripture, and that's recorded in the Gospels, and they typically had to do with his invitation to us to come follow him, and he wanted us to really know what that meant and what that was about. So sometimes he would say some hard things that were difficult for us to take in, and so, but at the same time, if you can take those in and just kind of just take in the taste and just let it hang out there for a little bit. It's like hard candy. It's sweet and it's good, but if you take it in too quickly and you don't give it time, you end up getting choked on it. So we've been working through a few different ones over the last few weeks, and we're going to wrap that up this morning. But it's fitting. Some of the songs that we've been singing is about just giving God praise in the middle of a circumstances or just a time when it's hard to do that. And we all go through things where we just either don't see it coming or you just don't understand why something happens. I had one of these happen last weekend. Actually, we had I took some of our core leadership people and we went and had a great retreat. And by the way, I'll just say this as a praise and as a hallelujah. I want you to continue praying for our leadership team. I've never been a part of a church that has a leadership team that is just so in step with each other. And we got away and spent a whole day together in a somewhat secluded place on the lake. And it was cool. Like there was no fighting. Like there's no hidden agendas. Like everybody's on the same page. So it's good. I say that so that you can have a glimpse of kind of where God has our leadership is in a really good place. We've got a lot of work to do moving forward. We're excited about what's in front of us, but all that to say, so we had this retreat, and we had to go pick up our boys. So they were all the way out in Morgan County, which is a little over an hour away from where we were. So I was driving across these curvy two-lane roads. You ever get on those dark, curvy two-lane roads, and you just feel like something's about to happen, right? Like this big chipmunk's going to run out of the woods or something, or a deer, right? Maybe a deer is going to come out. Well, so we're driving along and like, I see this deer on the side of the road. And so I kind of start slowing down and like, I'm driving down the road. His head's facing the woods. His backside's facing the road. And so I just start kind of getting over in the other lane. There's nothing coming. I'm like, it's going to be fine. He's not facing me. I'm going to get in the other lane. We're going to be good. Nothing's going to happen. Sure enough, when I get about 10 yards from him, he sees the headlights. No joke. Turns a complete 360 and runs right into the side of the car. I'm like, you dumb deer. Like, you were fine. Like, why did you move? Why did you have to do that? So, like, I call our insurance. I'm like, a deer just hit the car. And Jennifer's just looking at me. She's like, a deer just hit, you hit the deer. And I'm like, shh, just let me talk. And so I get off the phone and she's like, you just told them that a deer hit the car. I'm like, it did. It was safe. And it did a 360 and it ran into the car. Like, I didn't understand. All right. And so I think the deer, it wasn't laying on the road. I think it walked away. There wasn't too much damage to the vehicle. All that to say, sometimes things happen much more serious than a deer hitting your car. And you just look at the situation and you're like, how did I get here, right? Like I didn't see this coming. Why did this happen? And we struggle. And a lot of times it's not involving deer or animals. It has to do with people, right? And it's hard. And we don't understand why people do the things that we do. And sometimes you may even look back at yourself and you're like, I don't understand why I did what I did. I was in a perfect spot to be okay. And then sometimes it just hits us from a lot of different places. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the midst of going through something that you can't understand. And it's real for you and it's personal. And maybe it was just a matter of circumstances of life. We live in a broken, fallen world. And I wouldn't even start to try to explain why everything happens because I can't do it. Sometimes circumstances in life are just not fair. Sometimes circumstances we find ourselves in, though, they're self-inflicted. Maybe this morning you're not in a place where you're in a difficult season at all. Maybe you're in a place where you'd actually say, okay, all right, I get where you're going, but it doesn't really relate to me. I bet if you're not in a difficult spot right now, somebody that you know is in a difficult spot. And maybe this is one of those messages that you don't necessarily listen for yourself. Maybe you file it away for down the road one day. But maybe this is more so for you to go and encourage somebody else that you know is going through a difficult season. And so this morning, wherever this finds you at, I just want you to ask God just to open up your heart and take in these words. Because as we look at what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5, it's some more hard sayings. It's a little bit different, though, in the kind of hard sayings that we've looked at so far. The first three that we looked at really all had to do with Jesus saying, hey, here's what it really looks like to come follow me. I mean, he talked to us about relationships and he used the word hate, but we kind of put that in context of what that means. And then Jimbo, when he talked a couple weeks ago, he did a great job talking about how Jesus says, look, exchange like everything else for me. So it's like this holistic surrender to Jesus. And then last week, we looked at kind of this weird cannibalistic vampire moment where Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we kind of unpacked a little bit of what that really meant. But we saw the disciples wrestle through this in the context of community and relationships. And we talked about how important it is to have those people in your life. But today, we're going to end the series. It's a little bit different because Jesus actually is talking about a blessing. And so it's not so much that part of it that's hard to understand, but it's the context in which the blessing comes. And so we're going to look at that because Jesus knew that we're going to face difficulty. We were going to face adversity, whether it's self-inflicted or circumstances of life. He knew we were going to face it. And so this is the big idea that I want us to unpack this morning is this right here, is that moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. Moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. Now, God can show up when things are going smooth. Sometimes we don't see that, though, right? We begin to kind of take the credit and we think, I've got this going. I've got this thing figured out. I've got all my steps in a row. I'm doing everything that I need to do. And we can kind of forget about God. But it's definitely when things get tough, when difficult circumstances happen, I think it's in the midst of that there's kind of this opportunity created. I'm not necessarily saying that God has created your difficulty, but in the midst of your difficulty, it gives God an opportunity to show up and show you what he can do and what he's capable of. Sometimes in our life, we tend to, as we feel tension, we want to gravitate away from God and try to fix it ourselves rather than bringing our tension to God and saying, okay, God, show up. Show up in the midst of this. And maybe that's where some of you are at this morning. You're walking through a difficult moment or a difficult season, or you know somebody that's going through it. We've got to realize God wants to show up in the midst of that, but we have to let him do that. We have to let him show up and be present. We have to invite him into that. God loves you, but he's not going to force his will and his plans upon you. He's not looking to make us robots that are forced into submission. He's created us to be beings that want God's presence in our lives. And so as you're walking through what you're walking through, he wants to show up and be there in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. But what we tend to do, though, is if we don't push him away, we tend to just react in the middle of our circumstances rather than respond. And when we let emotions and feelings and all these things show up and they begin to distort the way that we are supposed to respond, I don't think Jesus shows up in our reacting. He wants to show up and show us how to respond. But so much of what we do, the pace that we live, prevents us from going about these difficult moments in a way that allows God to show up. God wants to show up and respond, lead us to respond, rather than us just reacting on our own. So let's look at this. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12 first, because there's a blessing, but the hard thing comes in the context in which the blessing comes. So let's look at this, verses 9 through 12. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." It's good news, right? Jesus is saying, you're blessed when everybody else is chewing you out. There's a blessing in that. That's what you wanted to hear today, right? It's good news. I'm going to get chewed out this week. People are not going to like me anymore. Yes, and Jesus says that's good, right? It's hard. It's like, why would he say this? Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Difficult moments create opportunities for God to show up. So we're going to look in this passage, in these verses right here, there's two different ways we're going to look at this. The first verse talks about being a peacemaker, so we're going to start there, and we'll kind of frame this idea like this, is that you'll find the peace that you're looking for when you look in the right place. You'll find the peace that you're looking for when you look in the right place. I don't know what it is when it comes to finding things. How many of you would say I have a knack for finding things? If I lose it, I do a pretty good job at finding it. I'm seeing very few guy hands go up in the room. There's a couple of guys' hands go up in the room. But typically, I don't know what it is. I've talked to a few other people about this, and I hear ladies kind of joke and poke at their husbands a little bit on this, is that there's this saying out there that's like, well, stop looking like a man. You know, it's like when you lose something and you're trying to find it, I don't know, maybe I'm just going to open myself up this morning and admit that I can't find things when I lose them. And so I'll go and I'll look. I'll open up a closet door and like, I think I'm looking through it thoroughly, right? I think I'm picking stuff up and really looking, but apparently I don't, because no joke, Jennifer can walk right in the closet and she's like, here it is, right where I told you. I'm like, I look there. I know it was right there. I was like, you hit it. And then you went and put it there. When you went back in there, that's what they do. Guys, that's what they do. They hide it somewhere else and tell us. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just in my house. But I think I have this knack for finding stuff. But even when I think I'm looking in the right place, I end up realizing I'm really not looking in the right place. And I say that because I think as Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about being a peacemaker. And I think at the core of all of us, we just want to be able to just breathe and feel like we're at peace. I mean, there's probably not any of us in here that would say, oh no, I'd rather be like stressed out all the time, right? We would much rather just be able to be at peace and just breathe and feel like we're taking it in. But we're not always there, though, are we? A lot of times life feels the complete opposite of peace. There's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety, and a lot of that ties back into the relationships that we have with other people. And I think the trap that we can find ourselves getting caught up in is Jesus is saying here, look, there's a blessing that comes when you choose to be a peacemaker. He says, for they, the ones that choose to be peacemakers, they will be called the sons of God. So it's kind of like he's saying this, your identity as a child of mine is best lived out when you are looking to live at peace with other people. But here's the trick. Being at peace with other people cannot be found in the context of other people. Being at peace with other people comes from being at peace first with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I think a lot of times we try to think, well, if I can just get this relationship to work this way, or if I can get this to happen over here, if I could ever just get this tension resolved with this person, then I would be able to live at peace. And Jesus says, look, that's a good thing to aspire for. There's a blessing that comes when you're striving to be a peacemaker. But ultimately, underneath that, we understand that our peace doesn't come from our ability to make peace with other people. It ultimately comes from being at a place of peace with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And from that, he says, from being a child of mine, there's a blessing that comes as you strive to be at peace with other people. So when you think about a peacemaker, I would kind of define it like this. It's someone who takes intentional steps to exist in harmony with other people. So there may be an opportunity in your life right now that's difficult. Maybe this moment of difficulty has created an opportunity in a relationship for God to show up. One, to reaffirm your identity in him, that as you seek to make peace with other people, ultimately, he wants to show you the peace that he's given you as a child of God and as his. But we tend to sometimes avoid being peacemakers, though, and we have a few alternatives that we'd rather do. Sometimes I think we would prefer to cover things up or butter them up, right? That's even better. It's like, well, I can just, instead of being in tension with this person, let me just maybe go buy them something and that'll make it better. Or you know their love language, and you just say, okay, I'll just go do this and maybe this will fix it. So we try to cover it up, we try to butter it up, maybe we just try to avoid it. Because if I just don't think about it, it doesn't exist. Or it'll go away, or it'll fix itself. So we just try to avoid it. And maybe the worst case scenario is we say, well, I'll just run from it. I'll just leave it. But I think Jesus says there's a blessing and a willingness to be a peacemaker, because it's not so much about whether or not you're actually able to obtain peace with the other person as it is about what that does for you trusting Christ and the peace that he's placed in your heart, that no matter how they respond, God has given you the peace. And so many times we look to other people to give us peace. We look to other people to set our perspective. But I think there's something here that Jesus is saying. In the midst of being sometimes at odds with other people, God wants to show up in the midst of that and remind us of the peace that comes to us. You can seek to be a peacemaker when you're at peace with your maker. Otherwise, you trying to be a peacemaker with other people is only going to set you up for a future disappointment. You can only really be the peacemaker God wants you to be when you're at peace with your maker, and that is Jesus Christ. But God wants to use the tension in our relationships to bring us back to this place where there is a blessing that's there, but it's not going to come from seeing a relationship mended. It ultimately comes from who we are as children of God. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. They'll put it up on the screen. It says this. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It's just a reminder that the language that we see in the New Testament about us being a child of God, it's this adoption process. And in the midst of adoption in that culture, you as an adopted son or an adopted daughter, you receive the full inheritance. You were not viewed as an adopted son, but you're just a son or just a daughter. And everything that the Father has is now available to you. And the peace that comes from God now as a follower of Christ, as we've been talking about over the last few weeks, he extends to us when we step into relationship with him. Moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. All this has been granted to us through Jesus. But I get it. You may be saying like, oh, but you don't know. You don't know the person that I have to work beside every single day. You don't know about my neighbor. You don't know about how my mom or my dad is treating me. You don't know about my sibling that's continuing to do this or this. Like, we've got all these, and I get it. Like, some people are harder, and it would be easier if God would just move them on. Like, I get it. But for us to say that this is something God can't do, God can't show up in, I just want to remind you about Romans 8:11. Familiar with this verse? We've quoted it quite often. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So what that is saying is that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is able to give you enough peace in the midst of whatever tense relationships you have so that you can seek to make peace with them. But your identity will not be rooted in whether or not you're able to achieve peace with them, because your identity is rooted and the peace that you have with your Heavenly Father, and that is sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Does that make sense this morning? And it is so easy for us to lose sight of that. Even in a good intention effort of trying to make peace with others, that can become our identity. That can begin to tell us who we are. And God says, yes, I want you to be an active peacemaker, but there's something deeper under that I want you to remember. Moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. So I think that's kind of what Jesus is stepping into when he talks about this blessing in the midst of being a peacemaker, because the only way you can be a peacemaker is when there's tension, and we just got to walk through that with other people. For far too long, I've seen it destroy the heartbeat of churches when tension begins to mount, and instead of people, one, understanding who they are in Christ, and then who they are as a family, learning to walk through those tensions. Like God, it breaks the heart of God when we don't find our peace in him. So we'll move on to the second thing. The next thing he talks about is persecution. And so I'll say this, the right thing won't always feel fair. The right thing won't always feel fair. Moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. And in the midst of God showing up, and in the midst of God saying, this is how I want you to move forward, this is how I want you to work through this, the right thing that God wants us to do may not always feel like the fair thing to us. If we're honest, we look back at verses 10 and 11 where Jesus is talking about persecution. If we're honest, most of us can't really relate to persecution because of our faith. I mean, someone may mock a social media post you put out, or, you know, they may make an undercutting jab about your faith, or they may mock a shirt you're wearing or something like that. But you and I really can't relate to the depth of what Jesus is talking about here. But maybe for our brothers and sisters around the world, I want us just to hang out here for a moment. Maybe God moves you to pray for them. Maybe God stirs your heart. Maybe he gives some perspective to the things that you feel aren't going on fair to you here in our American bubble compared to what our brothers and sisters around the world are going through. Do a little research. There's a website called the Open Doors. It's the Open Doors Project. They rank the top 50 countries that are... you make it on the top 50 list by your hostility toward Christians. And so this is not a list that you would want your country to be on. Let me give you just some stats. And this is just from November 2017 to the end of October 2018. So just in a one-year period in these top 50 countries. And this is just what they have reports on. There were 4,136 believers killed for their faith. Another 2,625 were detained without any representation, trial, anything that we would say is fair and due process here in America. 1,266 churches or church buildings were attacked in that one-year period. There's a story that I came across on this website. I'm just going to read you a quote. It's from two sisters, Meena and Sunita. They were baptized in Eastern India, which is a heavily, heavily, heavily Hindu culture. And in response to this, they said, we lost our home, our rice harvest, 45 goats, our clothes, and we were thrown out of the village in which we lived. We've lost friends and family, and when we wanted to build a new house somewhere else, the bricks and wood were stolen. But they also said in the midst of that, that they never knew how close God really was to them until they went through the persecution they've went through because of their faith. Now, I say that just to give us some perspective, because I get it. We live in America, and we don't deal with some of the stuff that they deal with, and I'm not trying to minimize our problems, but I do just want us to step back and breathe a little bit and realize that the things that we do encounter are... We have brothers and sisters around the world that are experiencing something so much more. And Jesus is saying to them in this kind of persecution, like, there's a blessing that's there. And for us to pray that they would see that. But for us, our persecution may look different, but we still get attacked. We it still hits us in different ways. No, your life may not be on the line tomorrow, but your job could be. If you're in a position where you've got to make decisions and you have an opportunity to choose, am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to honor God in this situation and not just do what everybody else wants to do or what the culture says that I should do? Am I willing to trust God as I make this decision in my workplace, even if it costs me my job, because I know that God is ultimately my provider? So yes, maybe there is a little bit of persecution there when your values that are rooted in Christ have to show up, and you have to make decisions based off of those. The only other option is to just put your faith aside and say, well, that's a Sunday thing, so I'm going to make whatever decisions I want here. Well, that's not really following Jesus. That's some of that hard stuff we've talked about over the last few weeks. So it may not show up with your life on the line, but it may show up at your workplace. It may show up when you make decisions on how you're going to raise your kids. The values that you're going to have in your home and what matters and the way that you spend your time together and your pursuits and your passions and your conversations and the limits and the boundaries that you set. I'm not here to dictate exactly what those should look like, but I will say that they ought to look something different than the rest of the world if we're going to follow Jesus. And there may be some pushback, and we've got to walk our kids into that, because then our kids are going to feel that. When our kids go to school and we've set boundaries and parameters in their life and their friends around them don't have those same boundaries, they're going to feel more persecution than you and I will as their parents. But we have a responsibility to raise them up to know that the right thing won't always feel fair. And in the difficulty of the moment, God's going to show up. There's a blessing in the middle of that. So we can either kind of stand back on the sidelines and just let everything play out, or we can be intentional, knowing that there may be pushback, knowing that it's not always going to feel fair, but it's the right thing for us to do. Jesus leans in here and he says that there's a reward coming to you. If you go back and look at that, let's look back at verse 12. He says at the end of that, he says, "Rejoice and be glad. So when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account," he says, "rejoice and be glad." Don't you just sometimes wish Jesus would like give you an out? That it was like, is that an easy way? Like, can you just give me permission just to sulk for a little while? But he's like, I want you to see beyond this. He says, there's actually, when you can rejoice and be glad in the midst of this, there's a blessing that comes in that you couldn't experience otherwise. You back up just a few verses. I'm not going to really talk about this that much, but you back up and Jesus says, blessed, I think it's verse 4, maybe it's 4 or 6. He says, blessed are those who mourn. I mean, how backwards is that? Blessed are those who mourn. You know why? He says, for they will be comforted. Talk to anyone, many of you in this room, you've walked through a season where you've lost someone really close to you. Does God not show up and comfort you in such a unique way that you can't even describe? You can't put words to it. Moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. Show up uniquely. Let you experience Him in a way that you haven't yet experienced. And that's one of these things that Jesus is talking about here. And so what we have to realize is that when others are knocking us down, and they're knocking us down because of who we are in Christ, it's not a knock on us. Like, we can't take that personal and then let that determine the way that we react back toward them. The thing that we have to realize is that you and I cannot control how someone else is going to respond. But what we can do is we can control how we will respond. I'll give you a few thoughts to help you as you navigate through that. Ask God for perspective. Start there. Just ask God for perspective. You're struggling with how to make this decision at your workplace. You're struggling with how to lead your family in this way. You're struggling with how to deal with this person. Have you really just like stopped and talked to God about it? Have you really just asked Him for His perspective? It begins there. Talk to people you trust. Keyword trust. We've all talked to the wrong people before, and then you're like, oh, should not have told you that. Now I got more stuff I got to do, right? Talk to people that you trust. What does it look like to trust? Because this is something that as we navigate through years, and life experience only teaches us when you trust the wrong people, right? You learn how to figure out who can I trust. Let me give you two words. Discernment. What is their sense of discernment? I'm going to give you three words. Discernment is one. Do you sense that this person can discern? Have you watched them discern difficult situations and make good choices in that? So is there discernment there? Have they ever told you about any brokenness in their life? This is one I had to learn. I used to think, wow, this person's a really good listener and they listen really well. I'm just going to, because I can tend to be an open book sometimes. I'm just, yeah, sure, I'll tell you about everything I want to do, everything I've struggled with. Like, here you go. And what I had to learn is there's this fine line between opening myself up somewhat along the lines of them opening themselves up. You got to be careful in that. Find people that you trust. You know you can begin to trust them when you see a sense of discernment in them, when you see that they've opened up and in return shared a little bit of brokenness with you, a little bit of vulnerability. And then is there just something in your gut that says, I can trust that this person, there's a confidence there, almost an affirmation that God gives you that says, yes, confide in that person. We need those people in our lives. But when you're looking to respond and figuring out what to do, ask God for perspective. Talk to people that you can trust. Here's a hard one. Avoid triangulation. Avoid triangulation, or we could say gossip. Here's what that means. When things are pushing back against you, our tendency and our reaction as humans is, well, I got to build my army, right? I got to build my army. If they're coming at me, I got to find out who's with me and who's against me. So I'm going to go tell my side of everything to all these people that really don't have a clue what's going on so that I can pull them over onto my side so that when they build up their army and come at me, my army's going to be bigger than theirs and we can throw down. I'm going to win because I got the bigger army. I don't know about you, but like the times I've tried to do that, it just creates more chaos if you're honest. Ask God for perspective. Talk to people you can trust. Avoid triangulation. Avoid building your army. And here's maybe the hardest one of all is to remember that justice is God's. Justice is God's. You and I are not called to take out revenge on people. And look, I get it. When difficulty happens, when you feel like the right thing is what you tried to do, and then you've just been treated unfairly in response to that, I get it. You want to do it. We walked through a season as a family where your name gets dragged through the mud and lives get twisted and turned and you want to rise up. You want to, I'm going to avenge myself. Like you're going to know who you're messing with, right? Especially those of you mama bears in the room, right? It comes out. You're going to take care of your kids and your spouse or whatever. It's like you don't mess with mama bear, right? It starts to come out. And I get it. It's so hard to just let it go. And here's I think there's something, though, it's even harder of letting it go and not getting revenge yourself. Because we can say, okay, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. As long as I get to see you punish them, God, right? That's kind of how it goes. It's like, okay, God, I'll step back as long as I know that, like, they break down on the side of the road in the middle of a storm and it's clearly you, God. And I can be like, boom. Thank you, God, so much better than what I could do, right? Here's the thing. When you truly let it go, you may never see how God deals with it. And you got to be okay with that. Or you're not truly letting it go. And I get it. I'm a dude standing on stage and I wrestle with this as much as you do. This is not easy. But there's a reason Jesus says, your circumstances don't determine your character. There's a blessing in the middle of all this persecution, this evil, and all this. You have a reward for you that is not based on your circumstances. It's based on who you are in me. So set your eyes on me and what I'm going to give you. That's what he's saying to us. These moments of difficulty create opportunities for God to show up. So why? Why does Jesus talk about these things? And then I'm going to wrap up with this. And then he transitions into verses 13 and 16. So it's like, it's like all this gloom and doom and difficulty. And he's like, it's like, oh, this is coming. I can feel that. And maybe it's where you're at right now. And then he comes to verses 13 and 16. And I have a thought on maybe why these are in here in this order. Verses 13 through 16, after talking about all this, Jesus then says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Could it just be that Jesus says, the way that your light's going to shine the brightest, the way that your salt is going to be the saltiest, is when you have learned to trust me in the middle of difficult moments, and then I get to tell my story through you as I bring you through that. And if you will let me show up, you will be salt on the earth. You will be like a light, like a city on a hill. I think Jesus would say here that you are made to make an impact. Every single one of us, you are made to make an impact. And he uses two "you are" statements here. So he's saying something about our identity, something about who he says we are right here. He declares two things over us. And you have people that will say things about you all the time. Some of you, somebody will walk up, you know, you're beautiful. That makes you feel good, right? Somebody will say, oh, you're handsome. Oh, you're going bald. Like, oh, you know, oh, you're having a bad day. It's like, well, gee, thanks. Like, I guess I look horrible today. Thank you very much. You know, it's like people, they come up and when they say, like, you are fill in the blank, like, we take notice, right? Why do you take notice of that? Because they're about to say something about how they're perceiving us, about the identity that we think that we hold, at least in that moment. So we pay attention. Well, Jesus uses two "you are" statements right here, and he speaks right into our identity, and he's saying basically, you are made to make an impact. And in these difficult moments, it creates an opportunity for God to show up, and God's going to show up, and he's going to make an impact, but a lot of times that impact is going to happen as he works through us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It's one of my favorite passages because it keeps me in perspective on my faith, that my faith isn't just this thing I'm supposed to consume, but it's supposed to flow through me. Paul says this to the church in Corinth. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He's basically saying, difficult moments create opportunities for God to show up. And the way that God is going to show up is he's going to speak and he's going to talk through your story. Casey, who sings on our worship team, shared her story. Some difficulty she's went through over the last year. We have that on our Facebook page if you haven't watched it yet. But she says something I want to mess up. She said it way better than what I could remember. But she made this statement generally that was like this. She said, if I don't tell the story about how God has walked me through what I've went through, then what was the point in me going through it? And I thought, wow, to be able to arrive at that place. Like, and she'd be the first to tell you, I don't have it all figured out. I'm still working through everything. But to have that perspective, and for us as we walk through things, to realize that, wow, if God can't get the glory in this, if I can't use this to help someone else, really, then what's the point at the end of the day? You and I are made to make an impact, and we become saltier. Our light becomes brighter when we let God work through those difficult parts of our lives. The people around us that are not here this morning, that are disconnected from God, the people that you live, work, and play around that are maybe have built up walls toward God, those are not going to be torn down with you talking just about how great God is and how good your life is. Those walls are going to start to come down when they can see that even as a follower of Christ, life still stinks sometimes. But we have a God that's carried us through it, that's comforted us through it. That's the story that people want to hear. And the salt that we speak with, God wants to work through you to put a different taste in people's mouths. Sometimes their taste toward God is just, it's just not good. Because it's what they went through. Maybe it's an experience they had with the church. God wants to do that. God wants you to be light. In other words, he wants to illuminate something where they see no hope and all they see is darkness. He wants to use you as a light to bring hope and perspective and show them how God may show up. I think for far too long, us as the church, we can just get too content with walking through the grind of Sunday. And we forget that we're made to make an impact. And one of the blessings, one of the ways that God wants to show up is through those difficult moments. Can you just stop and think for a moment? What if you, this week, that person that you know is going through a difficult stretch, what if you just made an intentional point of contact with them? What if you just let God lead you into that so that he could begin to use you as salt and light to make an impact on them through the difficulty that you're walking through. Maybe you're not at that point yet. Maybe you're just at the point this morning where you just need God to show up in your difficulty. Ask Him to do that. He's waiting on the invitation to show up and to come in. Good news is He's probably right there waiting, and He has been all along. He's present. He's just wanting you to recognize it. Maybe God's just not finished with you or with someone you know yet. He's still got you here. He's still got them here. And what if, as a church, as individuals, we could become that intentional in our relationships? And then imagine, collectively, the stories that we could tell, the impact that we could then have for our community. I'm going to ask the team to come up and to lead us in a final song. As they come up, I just want to ask you, if you would, just to bow your heads and just reflect for a moment. I said at the beginning, this is going to hit you probably one of two ways. One, you're going through difficulty yourself, and you just need to be reminded that there is a blessing in this. God's going to show up. And there's a way you can invite Him into the difficulty. And that's what He wants, actually. Or I said, this may not be about you at all. This may be about somebody in your life that God wants to work through you to make an impact. The end of that verse, in verse 16, it says that as you do these things, as you're salt and as you're light, our Father in heaven's going to get the glory, as the people around will see the good works that are done in His name. Let us be a church that is laser focused on making sure God gets all the glory that He can get as He works through our lives. May God lead you into what it looks like. And I'm just going to pray over you this morning, just so I can know how to pray. How many of you would say this morning, just slipping up your hand, there's not going to be any kind of awkward moments or anything this morning, but how many of you would just say, as you slip up your hand, this was for me today. I'm going through difficulty, and this was for me today. Okay. How many of you would say, this was maybe for me at some point, past, present, future, but more so this morning, this is for somebody else in my life, and I've got some work to do this week. How many of you would slip up your hand and say, that's me? Okay. So I'm just going to pray, because God, I think God's moving about equally over the ways to take this in. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to pray for boldness for all of us to trust Him, whether it's for us or for someone else. Just pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your words. I thank You that You're good. I thank You that You show up in difficult moments. And right now, I want to pray for those in the room that are just struggling, God, in the midst of difficulty. God, I pray for Your presence to be so clear, so vivid, so active, that there would be no doubt, God, that You are with them. You have not walked away from them. You are fully present in the midst of their difficult moment. And I pray that they would experience You in a unique way. I think that's the blessing and the difficulty, is that we get to know You, God, in a way that we previously haven't gotten to know You. And so I just pray that over those in here that are going through a moment of difficulty. And I pray that they would know that it is just a moment. It won't be forever. You will carry them through this. And I pray, God, for those here this morning that You've burdened their heart for someone else. God, I pray for wisdom. I pray for sensitivity. I pray for the words that they would speak that would not be their own words, but it would be the words of Your Holy Spirit working through them. I pray for the ears of those that will hear it. I pray for those that are on their heart, God. I ask that You would just show up and create a God moment where You get the glory. And then we celebrate, God, just the way that You continue to move time and time again, not just in us, but through us. Father, continue to remind us who we are as Your church. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name.